You're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Robin Hilton.
Hey, Bob.
Do you remember when we used to have this thing called Open Mic? Remember Open Mic?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And do you remember getting in a CD by Regina Spektor?
I do. Open Mic, real quickly, was what it sounds like. It's unsigned artists, complete, you know, home recordings or whatever, people who sent us their own records. And
Office Depot records.
Yeah,
with magic
home
markers.
Home stand CDs, right. And she gave us one. Sufjan Stevens sent one in, too.
Yeah. That was about 2003, maybe. Regina's got a new record. It comes out late spring. It's called What We Saw from the Cheap Seats. It's on Warner Brothers again. She worked with this producer, Mike Elizondo. He did some of the production on her last record. Her last record was 2009. It was called Far. He's done Fiona Apple. He's done Eminem, Dr. Dre. And let's listen to All the Rowboats.
Sentences, it's their own fault for being timeless. There's a price to pay and a consequence. All the galleries and museums, here's a ticket, welcome to the tombs. They're just public mausoleums. The living dead fill every room. But the most special are the most lonely. God, I pity the violence in glass coffins. They keep coughing, they've forgotten, forgotten how to sing. Stay there in their gold frames for forever, forever and a day. All the rowboats and oil paintings, they keep trying to row away, row away. Out, then there's lock up. Masterpieces serving maximum sentences. It's their own fault for being timeless. There's a price to pay and a consequence. All the galleries, the museums, they will stay there forever and a day. All the rowboats and the oil paintings, they keep trying to row away, row away. All the rowboats and the oil paintings, they keep trying to row away.
Wow. Wow. That was not at all what I was expecting.
Regina
Spektor. I love how she did the drums vocally at the same time at the end there.
Yeah.
Wow. That just blew me away.
Awesome.
And it's going to total. I can't wait to hear the whole record. You don't have the whole thing yet, do you? I'm sorry, Bob. I clearly touched a nerve.
I'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want that. It just wouldn't look good for anyone.
Maybe Maybe we should just move on to the next artist then.
It's probably best that we do that.
So it changes what I was going to do the rocker, you know, right out of that, but
we put it to shame.
We got to go with joy. I'm going to play Kishibashi.
Yeah, I like this.
This is a guy. He's originally from Seattle. He currently lives in Norfolk, Virginia, and he records and produces all of his own stuff, which I think is pretty impressive when you hear it because it is such a huge, epic sound. His whole record, it's just huge and crazy. He's toured a lot with and played with of Montreal. I think he's actually an active member of Montreal right now, and that sort of crazy, huge sound has definitely rubbed off on him. But, you know, I missed the perfect segue, which is that he has also toured and played with Regina Spektor. Let me just play some Kishibashi. He's got a new record coming out. It's called 151A. This song is Bright Whites.
Stop the army, cause all the mystery, it's a show.
wow, those Norfolk, Virginia influences are just all over this.
Let's listen all over again. That is totally the song I hit back in the car. I'd hit the back button and just listen all over again.
I love it. And it's got one of your secret ingredients for a great song, which I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah.
But it's there.
It is in there. We
very
were
strong,
talking about this earlier today. Yeah.
I did a song today that had two of them.
I know. That's the only reason I liked it so much. Yeah. You found the two secret ingredients. But this whole record is so joyful, and it reminds me, not in sound so much, but in the vibe of Yonzi's record a little bit, Go, from a year or so ago, that just so celebratory, you just want to run out into the streets, you know,
even you would hug somebody.
Yes. Yes, or I would be aware of the option of hugging a total stranger.
And Kishibashi means what?
Kishibashi is his name. His name is Kei Ishibashi, and he just put it together as Kishibashi.
Is it Japanese?
It's Japanese-American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He's at South by Southwest, and you and I are going.
I know. The reason I know this song so well is it was one of the songs on my list of 1,300 or whatever that got many stars.
Yeah. Great. I'll give you the whole record. You'll love it.
Sweet. Maddie Zundel, we did a video of Maddie Zundel. He's an Argentinian musician, an electronic musician. We put up this crazy, crazy psychedelic animation that he got together and did, and we put it up on the blog recently. He mixes cumbia, mixes dance music of Argentina with electronic sounds. Sometimes it's super dark and creepy, and sometimes it's super joyous and up. And this song is a little of both of these things. The song's called Señor Monte Costas. He signed to Waxploitation, which is the label that Gnarls, Barkley, and Danger Mouse are working with. The name of the record's called Amazonico Gravitante. We'll be right back. The sounds on that record and the variety of sounds on Matty Sundell's records, M-A-T-I, Matty Sundell's record, all over the map. But he's always gluing it together with a great rhythm.
Yeah.
That's why I love this
I guess
record.
We need that spine, that sort of order to make stuff like that a little more accessible. It was way crazier than I thought it would be, but I mean that in the best possible sense.
Oh. Are we doing nightly news? Is Chet Huntley going to show up?
But first, sports.
And Tom Heisinger. Tom Heisinger is our classical music expert, also a lover of so many different sorts of music. But everybody in this building has a great number of passions. And we've been trying every week to bring somebody else on and just stretch us out a little bit, some music that happens on NPR Music site all the time. Deceptive Cadence is a blog Tom does. And you're going to bring us some music today.
Yeah, I have what, on the surface, I guess you would think is a kind of a strange combination of characters. A 78-year-old Polish composer of symphonies and concertos and cantatas, and then a rock guitarist. And I'm talking about Krzysztof Penderecki, Poland's
greatest. He's not the rock guitarist.
He's not the rock guitarist. He's been called Poland's godfather of the musical avant-garde. And the guitarist in this case is someone who's well-known. And that's Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. And they're awesome. Collaborating on a new record that's out on March 13th, and it features two pieces by Penderecki and two pieces by Greenwood.
How did they ever, like, converge? Is Greenwood just a big fan of Penderecki?
He's a total fan, and he actually got to meet Penderecki last year at a conference in Europe, and they met, and they agreed to collaborate on a record, and Johnny Greenwood, he was like this giddy fanboy up there meeting one of his idols, and so we have this record now, which features a classic piece of Krzysztof Penderecki's, really the piece that catapulted him into the public consciousness in around 1960, Threnody for Victims of Hiroshima. Penderecki writes with these big blocks of sound and huge cluster chords, very dissonant music, especially in the early part of his career. And it's something that Johnny Greenwood apparently has really taken to. There's another Penderecki piece on the record called Polymorphia, and then Greenwood's new piece called 48 Responses to Polymorphia.
And he's not playing guitar on these Johnny Greenwood tunes.
No, this is all, you know, orchestrated music. And, you know, I first heard Johnny Greenwood's music, his non-Radiohead music, a few years back with that film There Will Be Blood by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Love that soundtrack so much.
And I remember sitting in the theater.
It's crazy.
It's the opening scene of the movie, these barren western hills, and you just get clobbered with this huge, bizarre, sliding string tone in a big crescendo. And I thought, oh, holy cow, how did they get Krzysztof Penderecki to write the score? You wait to the end of the movie, and wow. I saw it was Johnny Greenwood, and I thought, holy cow, it's like it's a complete and wonderful homage to his idol, Penderecki.
We're going to play just a tiny bit of the Penderecki, right. Both on this new record.
Right, let's start out with Penderecki's Polymorphia, and we'll kind of hear some of these very innovative string techniques that Penderecki uses in a lot of his early music, where the wood of the bow hits the strings instead of the hair of the bow.
Whoa. Very cool sound.
Not to interrupt, but that Tom, but that is totally the soundtrack to There Will Be Blood, and I had no idea.
There's a lot of that. Actually, there's a Johnny Greenwood piece on this record too, Robin, that's called Popcorn Superhet Receiver, and that piece, portions of that, he actually worked into that soundtrack.
Okay. I can really hear the similarities.
But it's kind of an homage for sure to Penderecki. Now let's go to the Greenwood piece. It's called 48 Responses to Polymorphia, a response to the Penderecki that we just heard. And part of this was the inspiration was that Greenwood found this oak leaf in his backyard, and he knows that Penderecki is a lover of trees, and so he looked at the veins in this oak leaf, and he tried to turn that into music, and part of that seeped into this piece, 48 Responses to Polymorphia. But now, if you cue it up here, I think we'll hear the obvious homage.
No guitars, no synthesizers.
And you hear that, and I think everything that's art, everything created by a synthesizer is just so irrelevant and boring now. I mean, you hear something that real and organic, and knowing that it could be performed live with these string instruments, I mean, that's amazing to
me. It's funny that you mention that, because in a recent article in one of the British papers, Greenwood talks just about that very same thing, that he's, I mean, even though we think of him as this electronic genius and with Radiohead and what he does, but he's just saying now that, you know, that's fine, but the coolest thing in the world is to be in front of a huge orchestra firing on all cylinders and just creating this kind of stuff. So
yeah, what a powerful feeling.
That was a little bit of this, the final movement from 48 Responses to Polymorphia, Johnny Greenwood's homage to Krzysztof Penderecki's piece called Polymorphia. And that was the Pacay Tree, and it's all from this new record that's out on March 13th with music of Johnny Greenwood and Krzysztof Penderecki. What a gas.
Yeah, it is.
So
really
cool.
Is.
So cool. Thanks, Tom. That was awesome.
All right. Nice to be here.
And if you can't remember all those names and want to find more information, all the songs, everything will be on npr.org/ all songs.
I didn't mean to diss electronic music, by the way, when I said it just seems so...
It hurt a little.
So less interesting. It's not as interesting now after hearing that, but I actually want to play someone who's an avant-garde composer, electronic composer in his own right, and that's the music of Nick Zamuto. And Nick Zamuto, he was part of the electronic experimental sound collage duo, The Books, and he announced back in January that The Books are breaking up. But Nick Zamuto has wasted no time creating his own solo project immediately after that. And he already has a record coming out on April 3rd. It's under the name Zamuto. And I want to play a cut. It's called Too Late to Apologize. And, you know, the Books, when he was in The Books, they were always...
Not to apologize. That's not what he said.
Not to apologize. Topologize. T-O-P-O-L-G-I-Z-E. But, you know, in The Books were always playing around with word order. Their first record was called Thought for Food, for example. And he does that on this record, too. The song Too Late to Apologize from Zamuto.
Here we go!
That's really good.
Yeah. This whole record is just as great as that cut is.
Can you play it again?
Yeah, let's just go back and hear it all over again. Nick Zamuto from The Books. This is his own project under the name Zamuto. The song was Too Late to Apologize. This record's a little more accessible, I think, than some of the stuff on the books. A little more melodic, not quite as chopped up.
Again, it's that spine. It's the rhythm.
Yeah.
Keeps it glued together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, moving along. I love it. I've got something now, take us a completely different direction. It's just guitar, Guy in a Woods kind of guitar. Mm-hmm. This is Michael Timmins of Cowboy Junkies.
Oh, okay.
He was working on a project back in 2007. Didn't know what he was going to be working on, and started to write a bunch of songs. He was out in the wilderness. And then his family was about to take a trip to China. And this is 2007. Mm-hmm. And that set him off on a whole new direction. So when he came back from China, we've played a series of music that he recreated from that trip, mm-hmm. and a whole series of Cowboy Junkies created called the Nomad series.
Right.
And now he's gone back to that music from 2007, that wilderness music, and he's seen ways to put it all together and make this what I think is a really beautiful, beautiful record. Cowboy Junkies are coming in tomorrow, and they're going to do some of this, so I'm really thrilled about that.
That's awesome.
But the record's called The Wilderness. It's the fourth in this Nomad series of the Cowboy Junkies. And the song we're going to play with Margot Timmins singing lead, as she does so wonderfully on this band that's been around making great music so much since the middle 1980s. We're going to play Angels in the Wilderness.
Are there angels in the wilderness? I don't know. About my doubts, but if you say so. You break my heart again and again.
Is it possible that Margot Timmons' voice has just gotten more gorgeous in 30 years that this band has been making music like this?
I think you're right. I think
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Just the and you know, you notice that guitar noise at the beginning? I thought that is just the perfect amount of guitar noise for this song. Just adds another texture to it, but it's not overwhelming. It reminded me a little bit of what Tucker Martine did with Laura Gibson's Beast of Seasons yeah. record. You know, it opens with some guitar noise, and it's just the right amount. It just sits perfectly in the mix, too.
I love it. The album's called The Wilderness.
Is that out now? Or what?
It comes out the end of March, March 27th.
I'm looking forward to hearing more of that. That was gorgeous. You know, listen, it wouldn't be an episode of All Songs Considered if I didn't sneak in another garage rock band. It seems every week I discover a new punk-flavored, gritty garage rock band. But you know what? I haven't gotten tired of any of them yet, and they've all sounded great to me. The one that
I think when Carrie Brownstein was here last week and visiting, did she slip you this one?
Yeah, she must have. Yeah. This one's called Mind Spiders. Mind Spiders, it's basically one guy's name's Mark Ryan from Denton, Texas, and he was in a couple of other heavier rock bands called The Reds and Marked Men, and he was just going to do this sort of studio one-off project called Mind Spiders, but he ended up getting friends to help him to record the record, and then they started playing a few shows, and then suddenly now they're a band. They have six members, two guitarists, two drummers, and they've got this new record coming out that has a great title, Meltdown. I think it's a perfect title for this record. The first half of the record is very gritty and loud, and the second half is more like 80s synth pop and new wave. It's a really weird pairing of the two, but it works. He also says, Mark Ryan, he actually cites one of your favorite records as an inspiration for his music, Brian Eno's Here Come the Warm Jets. Not sure you're going to hear that at all in this first song, but I don't know, maybe a little bit in the voice or something, how the voice is done. But this is Mind Spiders. The song is called You Are Dead from the record Meltdown.
And just real quick before we go, Julia Holter is a really interesting experimental musician.
Just had her on the show.
Right, and we're going to webcast a live video from Le Poisson Rouge. The Shins, the following night, March 6th is the Julia Holter. March 7th, The Shins live in concert from Le Poisson Rouge, a tiny little place.
Yeah.
You know, the new Shins.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to feature this video on our new iPad app. And that's the exclusive of where you'll find that.
Well, and just to be clear, if you don't have an iPad, you can see the whole show on our website a day or so later.
Right.
This is just a special. We're just promoting the new NPR Music iPad app. It's sort of a one-off special thing. We know not everyone has an iPad, but it's a pretty cool app, and we just want to show it off.
Yeah. And then next week will be our South by Southwest preview show.
And then we're gone
to South by Southwest, where we will do coverage, both live shows, Wednesday night, March 13th, and Thursday, March 14th, with shows live video webcast from South by Southwest. Yeah. We'll do nightly dispatches, where after we've seen 30 bands apiece, we'll all come back
at
2, 3 in the morning. And
you know, Saturday, my flight on Sunday morning is at 6 a.m.
You may as well stay up.
I'm not going to bed Saturday night. Awesome. We'll do the late night dispatch and I'll hop in a cab. So you want to hear Mind Spiders?
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music along with Robin Hilton.
Thanks, Bob.
It's All Songs Considered.